What's going on, everybody?
Yo, yo, yo. We back again.
Episode 14 of Read Between the Lines. I'm your boy, Daniel.
And this is your boy, Q.
Yes, sir. And we're back again trying to get you caught up on what's been going on around the world and what's going on in society and pop culture and whatnot. Mr. Q, how you been?
Been pretty good. Yeah. All gas, no brakes.
Oh, yeah? Wide open this week?
Wide open.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. It's been a busy week for me too, but man, I got a few stories. Hopefully we can get through all of them. There's a few things going on out there some of them are kind of crazy and some of them you guys might find kind of interesting too. So, we're going to dive right in. One of the first things that I wanted to kind of discuss was the story that I saw about Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, and this headline says Mark Zuckerberg surprised his wife Priscilla Chan with a giant statue in her honor. Let me just read you a little bit. So Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Meta, recently commissioned a Roman-inspired statue of his wife Priscilla Chan and shared the project on Instagram. The statue, created by contemporary artist Daniel Arsham, features a metallic surface and is a larger-than-life tribute to Chan. The post attracted various reactions, with people humorously commenting on Zuckerberg's extravagant gesture. Chan, who is a co-founder of the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, and she's also a pediatrician, jokingly responded at the comments, showing appreciation for the statue. Apparently, the couple met at Harvard, and they've been married since 2012, and they have three daughters. So when you heard this story of Mark Zuckerberg making a whole daggum statue, what was your first reaction?
Honestly, I really didn't care.
You didn't care? Mm-mm. I mean,
statue is kind of wild, but.
Yeah.
What was her response? What did she feel about it? How did she feel about it?
I mean, I guess she liked it, but
liked it. she better didn't want to like it.
I mean, but apparently, according to Zuckerberg, they used to do this back in the right. Roman times.
Okay.
Like the Romans, you know, they would make sculptures right. of
honor.
I guess to honor their wives. So I guess that's what he was trying to do. But I don't know, man. It made me think, like, what's the biggest thing you've done for, like, your girlfriend or significant other? Like, what's the most you've gone? Obviously not this far. But.
No. Maybe about something very expensive. Something, you know, not too pricey, but, you know, something, you know, a little. Come off a little off the cheese, a little bit, you know.
Like what? Like jewelry or what?
Yeah, jewelry. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jewelry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it. You know, it wasn't no statue. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you had that kind of money, would you do one?
If I had that type of money, would I do a statue? No.
Man, I would.
No.
I mean, if I had Mark Zuckerberg money like that, I'd do a statue. I'd do a whole. Like what you see, like in the museums, like you see, like these giant portraits of, like, I would do something like that too.
Now I wouldn't do a statue, but I would do like some art. I would do some type of a canvas, but it's got to be made with like 14 karat gold or something. Okay. Something just different with pearls or something that came from like Italy or something that flew it in, and or maybe yeah. some huge artist actually. Did the painting for me and signed it. You know, he did it. I would do something like that, but statue, no, because you know, we might move in like next 5-10 years.
You know, oh, that's nothing to him though. To move a statue,
yeah, but I'd rather have some type of artwork, something that's nice to hang inside, like the grand entrance of the house or something, a foyer.
Yeah, you know? Sculpture is art. You could put it on the foyer too. I mean, but I think they got it outside, like in the garden.
Exactly. I don't think that's too yeah. big. Yeah.
That one's pretty big.
That's kind of like gothic or something. I don't know.
No, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, the most I've ever done is like probably the biggest thing I've done was when I got my wife her engagement ring.
You know, I would hope so.
Yeah, that was probably a you know a few bands.
Yeah,
it took a few bands. Yeah. But you know I like doing nice things for her, but I was like, man, this is kind of wild right here.
Yeah, it is wild.
Now, I did know a guy. I did know a guy once that he told me when he was dating his girlfriend for her 40th birthday. You know, he asked her, what do you want to do? What would you like to do? And he was like, well, I would just like to, you know, eat dinner, have like a French dinner, eat some French food. So the guy was like, okay. So he thought, okay, maybe look around. I'm thinking, okay, look around somewhere in the area, like a restaurant for dinner. Bro, this guy, he knew somebody. I don't know exactly how he did it. But he talked to his girlfriend's sister. They happened to be twins too, by the way. And got her to like sneak into her apartment, get like some clothes, in the passport, and then for her 40th, surprised her, got a charter jet, flew her to Paris, France, had French dinner, and then flew right back. And that was it.
I would love that's nice.
When he told me that story, I was like, bro, I mean, you're setting the bar way too high. You're putting out here, you know, these lofty goals that I don't know, man.
That's good. Now that to me, I think that's living. I think that speaks volume. Like,
but see, it's not like he had money like that, but somehow he knew someone that knew someone that had a charter jet, and somehow was able to kind of finesse his way.
I like that. I actually like that.
Now, granted, I got to give him props for knowing that he's not on that tax bracket, but still pulled it off and didn't go broke, because going all the way to Paris just to have dinner and come back, that's kind of wild.
That's nice. I mean, if he went all out just to do dinner, what would it be the engagement be like?
Man, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, he set the bar way too high, because now, like, you know, where are you going to take her for, like, you know, honeymoon? And you know, what's the wedding going to be like?
But my thing is, I'd imagine it wouldn't really matter. Because
if she's a real one,
yeah,
it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, if you went to Paris for your 40th birthday just to eat dinner and come back home and went to work the next day, you know, that's fine. And then if the following week went to Atlanta and ate dinner, so what?
Yeah,
because to me, I think it makes it more spontaneous. Like, you never know what to expect.
Yeah,
because you can't always, this is my opinion, but you can't always can't stay on that bar. You got to come down sometime. You know, you know, staying up there all the time, it wears out. It gets old. You Paris 1 week, and then you go to Sweden, eat 1 week, and then let's go to England, eat over here for a week, and then you know, that's just too much.
Or they get used to that, and that's all they expect.
That's I don't like that.
And then
get used to nothing, because things is subject to change. Shoot. Don't play with me. Play with your phone.
All right. So let's see what else we got. So this story comes out of Chicago, I believe, or Illinois. So we got an Illinois school worker who was sentenced to 9 years in prison for stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings. Did you hear about that story?
I did.
So apparently, Vera Liddell, a former food service director of Harvey School District 152 in Illinois, has been sentenced to 9 years in prison after pleading guilty to stealing $1.5 million worth of chicken wings intended for students during the COVID-19 pandemic. From July 2020 to February 2022, Liddell ordered over 11,000 cases of chicken wings, which she picked up using a district cargo van, but the food never reached the students. Her theft was discovered during a routine audit that found the district had exceeded its food budget by $300,000 with half the school year still remaining. When I first saw this story, I thought, okay, well, I thought she just like maybe stole the chicken wings, but and maybe for herself. But then I thought, wait, that's way too many chicken wings. Like, what is she doing with these chicken wings? Like, that's a lot of chicken wings, you know, because when you think of like 11,000 cases, there's no way you can eat all that yourself, even if you gave some to your family and friends.
No.
So what do you think about this? What did you think she did with them?
Like, to me, when I saw it on Instagram and I was looking at the story and I was going through some of the comments, just because when you hear something crazy like that, you got to take the next flight straight to the comments, because people are going to have some bizarre like reasons why she probably did that. But it had to be somebody had a restaurant, or she was trying to sell them to a different restaurant, or make some money off of them, flip some money laundry. It had to be something. She knew somebody who had a chain of restaurants that needed chicken, and then said, look, I can get them at a different price because I get up on cost, and sell them that way. Because I don't think she was taking them all home and just keeping them all for football night or for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, one of the things that I saw that kind of got her caught was the fact that they were like, why is she getting chicken wings? Because apparently they only get boneless chickens or like chicken nuggets because they're afraid because of the bones. Right. You know, I don't know, some of the kids might choke on them. So they were kind of concerned that she was getting all these chicken wings with bones. And first of all, like, why are we getting these? And then that's how everything kind of got started. And then she got caught up. But do you think 9 years, do you think that's too much or too little or just right, given what she did?
It depends on what she using them for.
I mean,
that's the thing. Like, it said one thing, but it's the reason why. Like, I want to know what's the narrative behind the whole story. Like, why in the world do you need that much chicken? Just once I find out why you need this much chicken, then I can tell whether the sentence is good enough. But I don't know. She could be trying to feed the homeless. She could have been trying to help a restaurant. She could, like, I don't know what she was trying to do.
Okay. So if she was trying to profit by flipping it to, let's say, local restaurants and trying to make money off that way, you know, it's 9 years. Is that cool? Because she stole essentially $1.5 million. I mean,
I think 9 years is long enough.
And granted, if she does, you know,
probably do half of it.
Yeah, she'll probably end up doing half if she, you know, if she
good behavior.
Good behavior, yeah. Now, what if she was like trying to feed the homeless or like feed, you know, I don't know.
If she was trying to like,
which I doubt, but go ahead.
Which she probably wasn't, just to be real. But if she was trying to take care of some type of a halfway or some type of a charity, and she was maybe shipping them to, you know, fixing them to like different charities, then yeah, maybe 9 years could be too long. But we don't know the real reason why. But first of all, you send for children, they're not even for children. You know, you taking these chicken wings and saving them for Monday Night Football or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, there's a football player. I forget his name off the top of my head. But he was volunteering to pay the $1.5 million that she stole so that she could, you know, so that her sentence could be reduced or that she didn't have to do any jail time. Whether that's really true or not, and whether that would make a difference in her sentencing, I don't know. But I thought it was interesting that this football player was willing to give $1.5 million so that she didn't have to do any jail time. But I'm thinking, like, why are you going to pay that much money for someone that was doing something that they weren't supposed to? Unless
how old was the lady?
Huh?
How old was the lady?
She looked like she was in her probably like late 50s, maybe 60s. She looked
That's probably why. Old. That's probably why. He probably doing it because he understands the fact that she's a grandmother, probably got children. Children got children. And there's, like I said, it's the reason why she was doing what she was doing. We just don't know. We don't know the whole full story of why. But all we hear is what we see on social media. But that's probably why he felt like that's somebody's grandmother. You know, if she goes do 9 years, who knows? She might not even make it 9 years. You know, if she's already that age, she can be locked up maybe 2 years and croak. You know, who knows? Yeah. So you don't want the last stories, you meet your grandmother, stealing chicken, and then you die in the pen, you know, over chicken.
If you had that money, would you pay it for?
I would. Really? Yeah. If obviously the football player was not struggling, so $1.4 million, that's probably another tax write off of him, probably. So I would if I had the type of money and I could get statues for my wife, and I could fly my girl to Paris for dinner. Yeah. Then why not? $1.4 million to take care of you, keep you out of jail.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, if I did take care of this older lady, then I will be interested in knowing, like, what was the purpose of this? Like, what's the narrative behind it? Like, what do you need? Or what are you trying to do? And you never know. It could be a blessing for her, you know?
Well, I would need to know more about the story. But, yeah, I ain't giving nobody $1.5 million to get them out of jail. Nah. Especially no stranger. Knowing what they did was on purpose? Nah. Ain't happening. You made your bed, you got to lay on it. That's how I think. That's how I feel. But you got anything else on that story?
No, I do not.
All right. So this next story that we came across is about the shocking number of Americans that actually believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. Can you believe that? So let me read this right quick. So now this is a little bit older, but I came across it because it's kind of making its rounds once again. So. But it's a 2017 survey conducted by the Innovation Center of the U.S. Dairy, and it revealed that 7% of American adults, which translates to about 16.4 million people, believe that chocolate milk comes directly from brown cows rather than being made from cocoa, sugar, and milk. The survey was not intended as a scientific study, but rather to gauge consumer perception of dairy. Surprisingly, nearly half of the respondents were unsure about the origins of chocolate milk. So when you saw this story, what were your initial thoughts about it?
Dumb and stupid. They didn't graduate.
Who, people?
Exactly. Okay. Why would you think of brown milk come from brown cow? Like,
so does the...
They never think about ingredients to make it brown? Or?
Well, let me ask you this, because there's a lot of people that don't know how food is made. And what I got to thinking about was, like, is this a reflection of people or is this a reflection of our education system that somehow we're failing people to the point that they don't even know where chocolate milk comes from.
This is, again, America. This is where we going. This is our future. Like,
and
we have bigger stuff going on in the world. We worrying about milk.
No, but people don't even know that. So imagine just the amount of things they don't know.
It's sad.
And how easily that can be manipulated, bamboozled. You know, hoodwinked, just because they don't know any better. They haven't been told. You know, a lot of people, you know, graduate high school, they don't even know how to read.
All right.
Or write.
Or do a resume. Or talk in complete sentences.
Exactly. So how many of these people do you think are going to vote for Kamala Harris? No. Oh, 16 million? Or for Trump?
Probably so. Or please pray for our country.
Oh, man. Because, you know, if people don't have the education or the knowledge to kind of tell that apart, I mean, what else are they not able to teleport? It's kind of crazy. And for example, one thing that I realized, like, do you write cursive? Mm-hmm. It's like a lost art. Like, hardly anybody these days can write cursive. Everybody, like, writes, like, print.
Yeah.
You know how it says, like, print your name, then sign? Yeah. They write it the same way both times.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that.
So I don't know, man. I feel like our education system is lacking for sure. When you see other countries and the things, you know, they speak multiple languages, the kids and stuff like that, and here we barely speak English. I don't know, man.
So, we sit here and thinking brown milk come from a brown cow.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's sad. It's not even funny to me. I think it's just sad. This is the world we live in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, America more than anything, but hopefully, you know, our education system, you know, can do better, but I don't have big hopes about it, to be honest with you.
So how do you feel about people like doing schooling at home? How do you feel about that?
Like homeschooling?
Yeah.
I think it's great. In fact, me and my wife been thinking about doing it ourselves. Obviously, we're not close to that right now.
Yeah.
Probably in the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 years when he gets older. But we're heavily thinking about homeschooling for sure. Because for one, yes, you got to have like a core set of things that they got to learn, like, you know, math, English, like some core subjects. But then after that, you can teach them whatever you want to teach them. If you want to teach them about, I don't know, how to change a tire, how to do a budget, how to, you know, write a checkbook, how to start apply for a loan, like, you know, about stocks. If you want to teach them about any of that or you know, plumbing or how to build a house, you know, how to change it, you know, anything you can teach them. And it doesn't have to last as long as normal school does. So, and then you can also shelter them from a lot of the craziness that's being put out there.
Right.
You know, so I think it's a good route because our school system, especially public schools, mm-hmm. These teachers are overwhelmed with 20 plus kids per classroom. And then you've got a lot of kids coming from like messed up homes, and then you got to worry about these kids bullying other kids, and then not to mention, you know, school shootings and all this crazy mess that happens in schools. So homeschooling doesn't sound like a bad idea at all. What you think?
Oh yeah, I love homeschool, and it used to be rare, and you didn't hear about it a lot, but now I hear more and more people actually considering doing homeschool. I knew friends who did it, and it was like, oh, okay, homeschool, okay. And now it's like, oh yeah, that's all we did. Like, we did him, we did her, you know. It's coming now. Like, you hear it a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming more more popular, mm-hmm. Especially with a lot of the things that you're seeing,
right,
kind of rolled out. Even as young as elementary school, mm-hmm. You know, with all these like crazy, you know, gender ideology that you can be a little girl if you're a boy, you could be a boy if you're a little girl, like, mm-hmm. you could be whatever you want, or you can be either, or neither one. It's like, and you know, they're exposing kids to all these things that they shouldn't be, and is actually influencing them and confusing them,
right,
more than anything. So to me, it's not so much about education, but they're pretty much indoctrinating these kids into these, you know, beliefs that a lot of parents don't even agree with. So, and it's happening. Well, we don't see it so much in this state, but certainly in other states, it's definitely happening at a younger and younger level. So my advice to parents out there, if you can, if you have the means, you know, I would highly consider homeschooling. Or if, you know, if you're of the Christian faith, maybe consider, a Christian school. I mean, that might be an alternative, you know, if, you know, but public school is just, it ain't the way we used to go. And even when we went to public school, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But now you can't even recognize it.
No.
So, any other thoughts on that?
No, I can totally agree with you.
Man, but we got all these crazy stories coming out. But one that I thought was really interesting, and we're going to kind of hit it, you know, get into the pockets a little bit. But it's a story about that even Americans earning six figures are feeling like they're living paycheck to paycheck, which is kind of crazy. So a recent survey revealed that even high-income earners are feeling financially strained, with 48% of Americans earning $100,000 or more annually reporting that they live paycheck to paycheck. Among those earning over $200,000, 36%, basically one-third of them, express the same concerns. Inflation and the rising cost of living have caused financial discomfort across all income levels, and while higher earners tend to have a more expensive lifestyle, they're also impacted by the rising cost of housing, food, and other non-essential expenditures. So when you read this story and you got people out here making 200K and higher and still living paycheck to paycheck, what'd you think about that?
Something somewhere, they're not budgeting right. There's no way you're going to tell me unless you're living above your means. And I know sometimes, well, I heard once you make a certain amount of money, more money, more problems.
Yeah.
So the more money you make, you're going to keep spending and you're going to learn not to be diligent. You're just going to go and buy. You know, you taking your girlfriend to Paris for dinner, you know, that's expensive. Like, you know, it just, to me, when you live on that certain level and you don't come back down, then yeah, you're gonna hit rock at some point, you know.
So, do you think that anyone, well, especially in this economy, do you think that anyone making 200K should be living paycheck to paycheck?
It's hard to say because I don't know as far as like mortgage, I don't know as far as credit cards, taxes.
We don't know each individual's, right, you know, situation. But I would think that when you're making 200,000 plus, I mean, you're talking about, you're in the maybe like 5% or like top 5% or top 1% of earners in the United States. And like, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, that means that, to your point, you're living way above your means. Yeah. You probably have a house that you probably can't afford, you know, because if you don't have one or two paychecks, you probably can't afford the house or be able to pay it.
Yeah, see, they can really go either way, because that's this person who's making 200 plus thousand a year, living from paycheck to paycheck, staying in a big house, probably got
BMW,
like, some kind of crazy Audis. You know, you don't even need all this stuff,
right?
You know, and then you got the other person who making 200 plus thousand a year, but supporting a family. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your wife; she doesn't work; she's homeschool the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a son maybe in college this year. You got a daughter is involved in volleyball, is traveling around the world. So you are like the breadwinner of the family. And so it's you and your wife, and you got a family, and you got, let's say, what, four kids. Mm-hmm. And all of them are active. And they all look at you as the bank because they know you got the money.
Yeah.
So if you look at it from that perspective, and then you got your in-law, your grandmother probably going to be moving in because they just can't afford to live on their own by themselves. So you taking her in or him in, so all that weight goes under your umbrella. So if you take a person like that, yeah, they probably is living paycheck to paycheck because they $200,000 that they earning or bringing home is really nothing but $65,000 or $70,000.
Well, if
you spread it out through the whole family.
If you're making $200K and you're the sole provider of the house and you've got multiple kids or even in-laws that you perhaps are taking care of. I mean, it all depends on what exactly you're taking care of them for. But I still think that if you're the sole income earner of your home and you have multiple kids, you could still not live paycheck to paycheck. It might mean you might have to make certain sacrifices. Right. You may not be able to eat out, you know, to nice restaurants. You may not be able to take, you know, multiple vacations. You may only be able to do, but like things here and there. But even a household that has multiple kids and you're the sole, because there are other families out here that are doing it with a lot less.
That's what I figured to say.
So I don't know. I feel that you still, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, making $200K, something ain't right. Because you still should be able to have some kind of savings. And if your mortgage or your house is still expensive, I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes you may have to think about downsizing.
And you probably got bad credit. Because if your credit is shot, you're going to have a higher interest rate. So you paying most of your money because of interest. You're getting these credit cards and you maxing your credit cards out and they overdraft your credit cards. So you paying at the wazoo on these loans that you not ever gonna get paid off. So you're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
But you hadn't even got your salary for the next month. It's already spent. Just trying to catch up from last month.
I watched this video. You know who Dan Ramsey is?
Yes.
And this lady called in, and she was $1 million in debt, and she's 29. And between her and her husband, I think, between the two of them, they make about $230,000 a year. And he was like, what is all this debt? And she's like, well, like $300,000 from school, like student loans. And then like 50 some thousand car loan. And then like another, I forget, it was like $400,000 mortgage. And then the rest was like credit cards. Like, credit card loans.
Yeah, credit cards will get you.
And he went ham on them on her because he was like, okay, well, if you're really serious about this debt and wanting to like, you know, bring it down, like you're gonna be miserable. You're not gonna do nothing for the next, I think he said, 3 years. You're not gonna spend a penny for nothing for 3 years. And I thought to myself, wow, if he can get them out of debt, $1 million out of debt with whatever plan he sets up for them in 3 years, that's a miracle. Yeah. I mean, cause bruh, $1 million in debt, that's crazy. Yeah. And not just like, okay, like I have $1 million asset and therefore I'm paying on it and I'm in debt. That's different.
Right.
They're like in just frivolous things and student loans for probably degrees that don't really.
Not I mean, even using.
I mean, but they do make decent, I guess. You know, each one makes over 100K, so I guess whatever the degrees was, I guess it's somewhat worth it. But still, though, 300K is a lot. I wonder what kind of school they went to. Mm. But yeah, man, that was a crazy story. But I wanted to kind of switch it up today and give you guys a top 10 list. Now, I know that a lot of the listeners out here are dudes or men, and I wanted to kind of do something for the man out there, especially the single man out there, kind of like yourself, you know, to help you guys out. And I wanted to give you guys the top 10 countries with the highest female to male ratios. Basically, so you guys can know where to go.
Okay.
And be able to find you guys some women, because there'll be more women than men in these countries. So you have better odds of finding the one. So
let's get your pen and paper.
Yeah, so get your pen and paper, and we're gonna do this. We're gonna start from number 10 all the way down to number 1. So here we go. So we got the top 10 countries with the highest female to male ratios. Starting with number 10, we got Japan. So the island is, you know, is famous for its technological innovations and traditional culture, has a more balanced but still female majority population, especially among the elderly. So you might get your, you know, an elder woman there, an older woman on in Japan, but the ratio in Japan is 95.1% of men per 100 women. And number 9, we have Hong Kong, which with a ratio of 89.4 men for every 100 women. At number 8, we got Portugal with 89.1 men for every 100 women. And let's see. Then at number 7, we got Russia at 87.3 men per 100 women. Then at number 6, we've got Estonia at 87.2 men per 100 women. And now we got the top 5 countries with the highest female to male ratios. And number 5 is Ukraine with 86.9 men per 100 women. Belarus with 86.8 men per 100 women. Armenia with 86.3 men per 100 women. Lithuania with 85.3 men per 100 women. And at number 1, we've got Latvia with 84.4 men per 100 women. So, yeah, so that's the list. So when you look at this list, anything, you know, stands out to you?
What was number 9 again?
Number 9 was...
I mean, number 2, my bad. Number 2.
Number 2. Number 2 was Lithuania.
Where is that at?
Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, actually, the majority of these countries, well, Latvia, Lithuania, Armenia,
all of them,
Belarus, same. Ukraine, Estonia, Russia, pretty much the top 7.
Okay.
Are like Eastern Europe type countries. So, which means that you can take your trip down there. Well, maybe not right now, because Ukraine is, you know,
yeah,
things are kind of crazy down there. That might be why they have so many women, because all the men are probably, you know, because they ain't with us no more from the war.
That's sad. That's not
but but like on a like seriously though, like a lot of these women are seem to be from Eastern Europe. You ever been with someone from Eastern Europe?
No, I have not.
No. So apparently a lot of them tend to be Christian. A lot of them tend to be pretty conservative, with, you know, strong family values, Usually they have big families. So, you know, maybe something to consider. You know, might have to take a trip down there.
Sounds like a plan.
You know?
What you doing next weekend?
No, I can't do it this weekend. But, bro, I mean, you know, I can take Fran. We can take a trip over there with you. And then, you know.
Wild out.
Yeah, man. We can.
Get a couple women. Put them in a suitcase and bring them back.
Well, they do those. They do those. What do you call it? Like, what do they call those? Mail order brides.
Yeah.
Now I have heard, that they do take trips. They are like agencies and organizations that you can, if you're single, you can take a trip to some of these foreign countries. Like a group, they'll take like a group of men. And they'll have you in, they'll introduce you, they'll throw like a party, they'll introduce you to like 100 women. And
like speed dating.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe it's like 10 guys and there's like 100 women. And each one of you can talk to as many as you want. And like, and if there's one in particular that you kind of vibe with, you guys can exchange numbers, right, and potentially like meet up later. But these agencies, apparently they do it in different countries. I think they have some that go to Eastern Europe, some that go to South America, some that go to like Asia.
Wow.
So that is a thing. But you know, if you can't find you a homegrown American, you know, you can always
go to Eastern Europe.
I mean, when you look at these odds, bro, like, I mean, and you know, a lot of them do like Americans. So, I mean, you can't lose. You can't lose. You know,
it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, a lot of them, you know, the reason why a lot of them are single is because there's not enough men in their countries, but also because their living situations, they're trying to like improve it. And if they can't do it in their own country, sometimes they're trying to go somewhere else. So you have to be careful too, because you want to make sure they ain't trying to get you for your money and like,
yeah,
just trying to get
agenda.
Exactly. Yeah. But from what I hear though, they do tend to be pretty, pretty conservative and family friendly and
loyal,
you know, loyal. And so, you know, so guys, if you're single, you already know where to go.
You heard it here first.
So before we go on, you got anything on your end? No.
Well, as would you rather?
Oh, do you have something? Would you rather?
I kind of, dude. It's been a wild day, but something I thought about, and I thought it would be a cool one. It ain't nothing crazy like what you be having, but
Okay.
If you had a chance, this is what we're doing now.
All right. It is officially the Would You Rather segment of the show. And Q is going to start us off.
One. That's all I have with one.
Oh, he's got his one. Okay.
One. All right. If for some reason, if you had a chance to bring anybody, any celebrity, any musician back from the dead, anyone you think would live in this time that we're living in right now, would you rather have Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston? I can't hear you.
Michael Jackson. That's an easy one. I mean, I love Whitney, and she's got a lot of great songs, but Michael just, he was a phenomenon. His catalog is bigger. First of all, he's got way more songs, way number ones. But even if you don't even look at that, he just got way more songs, more albums. He can sing. Don't sleep on Michael. He can sing. So I know that Whitney can sing, but Michael can sing, and he's a performer. He can dance, sing. I mean, he'll give you the whole nine yards. So for me, Michael Jackson all day long.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even have to think about it twice. Like, hands down, Michael. Okay. What about you?
Whitney Elizabeth Houston.
Oh, man. Why?
And don't say that why like you disappointed in me. Well, why? Well, you're right. Michael is the king. They say he's the king.
The king of pop.
He's the king of pop. And I give him that. And I've never experienced, well, I have to a certain extent, but Michael was a big dude. Like, he brought in the crowd. He was massive. Like, he's the MJ. To me, that's great. But for something about Whitney, man, I think what got me with Whitney, and until this day, I can hear her music. And whether it's on social media or different artists, like, sample her music, it kind of touches me. And I'm not going to sit here and get all, don't laugh. Please don't laugh. But she had, her voice was like never have heard her before. And yeah, the way she sang. And I think what really got me with Whitney Houston is that she was a great performer. She was elegant in class, and she had downfalls, and she showed it all in the world. Like, she had a drug issue. I mean, she was the reason why Bobby Brown's got on drugs. People thought it was Bobby getting Whitney. No, Whitney got Bobby on drugs. Whitney had influence to get the high-end drugs, you know, and that got introduced into Bobby, and they changed Bobby's life. But just to hear her story and how she had highs and she had lows and things she went through, but it never defined who she was. She still had a good character, who she wanted to be, who she was. And just to see her, what she went through in different movie roles she played, I thought it was amazing. Like, Michael was great, but Michael didn't really let you in on his secret life. Like, you saw him, he had his huge compound. What do you call it? What do you have?
Neverland.
The Neverland that we never got to see, you know. And
I think he did some interviews inside Neverland. But my thing is, I never saw anybody faint when they saw Whitney.
Oh, yeah.
No,
you're not going to see that.
Michael didn't even have to say a word. He was just standing.
Yes, I did see that.
And people were just faint looking at him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. And as much
that, as... That's just me. Like, I just love Whitney because her music. And her voice was so strong. And then the national anthem. And, you know, you're right. Michael do have a huge catalog. And he's very, until this day, he's still touching the world, you know, until this day. But I just, something about Whitney, man, like, when she was singing and how she would perform in different countries, and she would be struggling because she had addiction with drugs. But she would never let that take her away from her performance. Like, she would always give everything she got. And that's why she sweat so bad, because she was fiending. I'm dead serious. You're laughing, but it's true. Yeah.
She probably was.
She was going through a lot, but she was trying to keep it professional because she felt like, these people are here to see me perform. They're not here to see me in my junk. They're not here to see me because I'm struggling with this, struggling with that, or me and Bobby had a fight. They're here to see Whitney Houston. And so she gave them everything she got. You know, when she got finished, she went through what she had to go through. But until then, you got the whole fourth ride of Whitney Houston, you know?
Well, all I can say is that if Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson were living in this era, in this social media era, let me tell you something. Yes, you will hear a lot of stories and stuff online about Whitney. But, man, Michael would break the internet, because there would be so many people, like, just enthralled about with him and just wanting to, like, you know, whether it's being in his space or, like, be around him. And whenever he threw a concert these days, I mean, you think Taylor Swift is packing, you know, arenas right now? I mean, Michael would just be, like, packing arenas for, like, a week every day in a row. So I don't know, man. Whitney, I mean, she's great and all, but I don't know. I don't know if she can touch the king, though. Not the king.
Yeah. Like I said, they both got highs and lows, but I just, I think Whitney would be more. If I had to choose, I like both of them, but if I had to choose, I would love to have Whitney back. Like, I felt like she died too quick. She died too soon.
Oh, both of them did.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's sad.
Yeah, so, but.
Cause she, how old was she?
She was 55.
And see, Michael died when he was 50.
When he was 50, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she was older than Michael.
Yeah, see, yeah, that's crazy.
So, it just, that woman, man, I'm telling you. And it's so weird, not to keep going on, but I can go on social media and I could go through either Instagram, TikTok, or wherever the case may be. I'm going to always see something with Whitney. It's always going to be a clip or her birthday this past couple weeks ago. And it's all you saw was just.
Oh, really?
All you seen. But yeah. Yeah. And I still see stuff with Michael too. But I just noticed that if I go on YouTube, I'm going to always see something with Whitney Houston. So, and a lot of people they really give her respect, give her flowers, you know. So it's funny how she's this chick been gone for what, almost 15 years now?
Yeah.
And people are still talking about her today. And same thing with Michael. Michael been dead almost 20 some years, and people still talking about Michael too.
I mean, I will say this though, when it comes to like if you're a singer or if you're a vocalist. And you always see it like in these singing competitions like American Idol and You Got Talent, stuff like that. Whenever there's a girl that tries to do a Whitney song, they're like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, those Lord.
Those big shoes to fill, boy.
Yeah, because it's like. You
can't touch them songs. Those songs are sacred.
Yeah. So when you see certain people that try to attempt to sing them, you're like, dang, okay. I hope you know what you're doing. And that speaks to how big and talented Whitney was. So, I mean, she definitely left us too soon and, you know, may they rest in peace on the other side.
Okay, that's the only one I have, man.
That's the only one you got?
Yeah.
Well, I got a couple here. We'll see if we can get through these or not. So, all right. So, would you rather be forced to donate 10% of your annual income to a charity you strongly disagree with, or pay an extra 15% in taxes annually, knowing that you can't control what the government spends it in or spends it on it? So basically, there's a charity out here that you have to give 10% to a cause that you don't agree with, you know, and you're like, nah, I don't believe what they believe. I think is a bunch of BS, but you gotta give them 10%. Or do you rather pay the government an additional 15% out of your paycheck, every year?
Well, the 10%, because it's only once.
No.
That's not what you said.
It says, if you be forced to donate 10% of your annual income. So every year, 10% of your annual income. So you could either pay it as a one-time thing or you could get out of your check every week. But it's of your annual income. So if you make $100,000.
I know it. Yeah.
You know, 10% of that is going to this charity of some whatever.
Well, I take
that. Or do you
pay
15% more?
I'll take 15% toward the government.
Why though?
Because if I'm giving 10%, I'm sowing a seed into something that I don't know I'm sowing a seed into.
You do know what you're sowing it in. You just don't agree with it.
Well, exactly. So I don't agree with it. So I don't even want to give you my money if I don't agree with it.
Right.
You know, but I'd rather give 15% toward the government. At least I do know it's going toward the government.
Even though you don't know what they're going to do with it, but, you know, you'd rather.
At least I know it's going toward the government.
Right.
And the government need help.
I don't know if they need help. They got,
At least I know it's government. The 10% going to something that is BS, like you just said. So.
Yeah, something that you don't agree with, whether it's, I don't know,
abortions or something.
Yeah, abortion being one. So if you're against abortions, then you wouldn't want 10% of your money to go there. No. You'd rather pay the government an additional 15%.
Right.
Okay.
What about you?
I think, to be honest, I probably do the same thing. Just because morally, I don't know that I could live with myself knowing that I'm, like you said, sowing a seed or something that I don't agree with. Yeah. So, yeah, that would probably bother me. I mean, 15% to the government, that would bother me too, because I like them to be at least involved in my affairs as possible. But if I had to choose between the two, I'll have to do that too. Yeah, because it wouldn't sit well in my soul otherwise.
Yeah.
So I guess we can agree on that one.
These are supposed to be fun.
These are fun, man. It's to make you think. Now, this is the last one. If you guys are still hanging out with us, let's see what you guys think. Would you rather have to shower in ice cold water for the rest of your life, but always smell fresh, or be able to take a warm showers, but constantly have a faint body odor, no matter how much you washed?
What kind of BS is this?
All right, so you.
I'm taking a cold shower, but I will never smell funky.
Right, you always smell fresh, but you're only allowed to take cold showers, but you're smelling good. Or you could take warm showers, but you're always going to be kind of funky.
That don't even make sense, Daniel.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
If I take cold showers, I will always smell fresh.
Right.
If I take warm showers, I'm always going to smell funky.
Right. It's a hypothetical. Don't think too much about it. Just, you know, basically you got to live with the fact that you got to take a cold shower every day.
And I will probably do warm showers.
And just smell a little funky?
Smell, because I know how to put my fragrance on. Make it.
No. But that's the thing. When it comes to these would you rathers, you don't, it's either one or the other. That you can't, for example, you're constantly going to have a faint body odor no matter how much you wash.
So I take cold showers, sir, because I'm not going to stink. You ain't going to catch me stinking. No, sir, I am not about that life.
So you're willing to take cold showers?
Cold showers.
Even in the dead of winter?
Cold showers.
Oh, man.
Cold showers, and I will always smell April fresh.
But
my right guard will stay on the left.
But if you take a warm shower, I mean, let me ask you this. Because, yes, you might have a little body odor if you take warm showers, because that's the other.
But see, that's not what you said, sir.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said you always have faint body odor no matter how much you wash. But you get to take warm showers. But you're always going to be smelling. You know?
See, I don't want to be smelling.
But let me ask you this, though.
I'll tell you why. If I take warm showers in the morning at 6 a.m., and I already got an odor once I get to taking a warm shower, it's not even lunchtime. And if I'm smelling it already coming out the shower at 6 a.m., by lunchtime, bro, I'm going to be smelling like dead people.
Well, I guess this is my thing. Like, and hear me out. Think about this for a second. So, are we taking showers and smelling good for ourselves or for other people? Because if you're willing to give up warm showers not to stink, is it because of you or because how others might see you? You see what I'm saying?
I'm taking cold showers to make myself feel good because I want to smell good.
I mean, you'll be clean. You'll just smelly. That's all.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you take a warm shower, It doesn't mean that you're not clean. It just means that you're going to smell.
You're going to smell. Exactly.
Right.
And that smell is going to get stronger and stronger after every hour.
So, but you're doing that for yourself or for other people?
For myself. I'm not worried about nobody else. I want to smell good and feel fresh for myself.
Okay.
So if I got to take cold showers for the rest of my life, so be it. I'm a guard my mind. I'm a train my mind thinking I'm in the river, taking a shower every day. Yeah. Cold water, and I'd be fine with that.
Well, you know, they say cold water, I mean, a cold shower is supposed to help with, like, inflammation and other things.
Yeah.
I know we touched on this or something similar to this weeks ago. But, nah, I mean, yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, warm showers are the best, but if...
But if I'm going to take a warm shower, it's going to feel great. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to feel good. But by the time I dry off, I'm going to have a smell.
Yeah. That's the trade-off. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have a smell. And then I haven't got in my car yet.
Yeah.
And we got to travel. We on the road going to Charlotte or going out of town. It's an hour, 2 hour commute.
Yeah.
And I'm smelling already. So just imagine 30 minutes down the road and you smell this odor.
Yeah.
And it's not even lunchtime. And I'm not going to shower again. Until the next day or that night.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to go with the cold showers.
That's horrible. And the type of heat we have here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? This is August and you sweating, you cutting grass. Just imagine you cutting grass and you come in the house and you hold your son. It's not good.
And then you're all sweaty, but then you go take a shower, but it didn't help.
It don't help.
You take a warm shower, but you're still smelling the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, cold showers probably have to be
cold
there.
Cold showers for the win, bro. Like, I'm going to take a cold shower. I'm going to feel energized. I'm going to be awake. I'm not going to be sleepy because cold showers keep you, it wake you up like anything else.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to feel good, feel fresh. So, we take that trip on the highway. I'm going to be smelling good because I took cold showers.
That's what I'm picking too.
Okay then. You stay on this side of the street. I'm staying on this side. So
I mean I would hate it and I would struggle with it every day. I don't know if I could ever get used to it. But I mean it definitely beats the alternative. At least you're taking a shower.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? Like up until this people don't realize how lucky we are and how fortunate we are.
Right.
Because up until maybe 80 years ago, there wasn't such thing as warm showers. The idea that you can take a warm shower, that is a fairly new thing.
It's a luxury.
It's a luxury. I mean, you go to other countries right now, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like warm, like hot water coming out of here, out of this thing? It's not a thing. And even as a concept in and of itself, it's only been around for like 80, maybe 100 years. So that means that for all of human life, people have had to either take, you know, baths in the river or like, you know, with cold water. So these little luxuries that we take for granted a lot of times, we don't think about, but it's something for sure. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, that's all I have as far as the Would You Rathers. And I think that's all the stories and everything else that we got for this week. I know that we're in the dog days of summer. And hopefully there'll be more stories coming up as the weeks and the summer wanes down. But shout out to all the people that are out there listening, people out there commenting. And
thank you so much.
And
your support.
Yeah, for sure. So follow us on all the socials, subscribe to the channel, and obviously on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. You know, just write us a review follow us along this path. But so you got anything else for the people?
Hey, if you're traveling, hey, put us on in the car. Let us go with you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, we're a pretty quick listen.
We'll ride with you. You put us on, hit that play button, and hear our crazy stories.
Yes, sir. But until next time, peace out.
Be safe. Have a good weekend.